Okay, now we're going to have Carrie from Project Come-A-Lot interview Jay Wiesner.
Thank you so very much. We want to appreciate, you don't know, Ed, how much we appreciate your listening audience. How kind and compassionate they must be to listen to this.
Here we go. The first topic is Aborigines.
Yeah, so Jay's going to tell us how the Aborigines are in their power.
How they are in their power.
Yes.
He's romanticizing the original organic natural state. Now, I might agree with some of that, but we'll see.
The great anthropologist Robert Lawler, who was really the first guy, first white guy, to ever get into Australian Aboriginal culture, and he lived with them and traveled with them and went on walkabouts and wrote a great book about it. But he tells astonishing stories of psychic abilities among these Aborigines to talk to each other over hundreds of miles. They know where the game is 3 or 4 days before the game even moves into the areas where they're going to hunt them. They know where the salmon is going to be, days before the salmon shows up at that place, so they're there to get it. And so what he's showing is that our original primal selves, which are represented by the Aborigines, have incredible abilities that have all atrophied for us because of technology and all the rest, and that we are incredible beings who are eternal and infinite, and we can do anything. This
yes.
is what the Anunnaki do not want us to find out. This is their number one goal. Fear.
Yes.
Keep everybody locked in fear so they can never relax long enough to find out who they really are, how powerful they are, and how we can knock these guys out in a split second if we collectively decide to do so.
Which who, which hot, which one, who's who. We love some of those words, but we have no clue who it refers to. Well, okay, some of those pinpoints are spoke with authority. Okay, no problem. Some of those positions are radically acceptable if we could get the context by which they're being exuded. Are we supposed to kill the Aborigines, or are we supposed to move them up the food chain? We are confused. What's the point?
And humans had the gifts that Aborigines displayed, but they lost them because of technology.
Oh, well. And yet, their technology is how they found out that the Aborigines had all this. Right?
Right?
Otherwise, how would they know?
Yes.
How would they communicate what the Aborigines had that they didn't have, that they had to figure that they got that they couldn't get, and they were so powerful they could come kill the Aborigines? Well, ascended power didn't do you much good if somebody else can take you out of that force. That's why we wanted a little cleanup on aisle two, because if they had it all, and this is somebody else's work that he's speaking of, and it applies into how they weren't in bondage and technology put everybody else in bondage so they could go and wipe the Aborigines out, did they? Or see, we're cross with what's the reference point? Okay, but you see the obvious anomaly here. If it's an if-so facto, we can go with some of that. See, we're okay with it. You can't get it wrong, and you never get it done. But you can't go subjugating false premises into the ramification of how you didn't get to where you weren't going anyway. So if you're going to blame technology, that's going to be trouble, because then you can't verify what you know of why you want to go kill the Aborigines so they won't be more superior in their authority, apparently not power. And were the Aboriginal crew, were they a threat to what you call Western civilization? Because are they supposed to be transpiring at the same time, or are they different times?
I don't know.
Well, we don't either.
And then his final recurring theme that happens in many of these discussions, not with just Mr. Widener, is that the Anunnaki do not want us to discover our power.
Why would they care?
Well, yeah, it's obviously not enough power to beat them. I like Anand's point that the Aborigines are this romanticized source of power, but they didn't have enough for the technology to beat them down.
See, and it just gets a bit anomalous if there's always some subjugation between your authority and your power. And if that's the deal breaker, we can clean that up immediately. Go after authority, then you'll always be concerned that some other human creator has their power, which will overdo your authority. If you got power and authority, which would you rather have? You always want power. You don't want authority, because authority will let you find out that someone might have more power than you, and then your power is undermined or usurped because you exerted authority over it. So therein lies the conundrum. But if you can get that part, you might be able to clean up this whole damn mess pretty fast. You could separate power and authority and not intertwine them and use one to gauge the reference of why I should live and you must certainly die.
So the Aborigines, they had a lot of power, but they didn't have enough. So we don't want to go back there because we won't be able to whoop the Anunnaki when they come back, even though it's all predetermined that they'll whoop us and the Earth will die. So
Now we have changed people, haven't we?
Well, it won't matter if we whip them or not, because the coronal mass ejections are going to destroy us anyhow.
Yeah,
what's the point?
Right, let the coronal mass ejection. Corona is good, though. They say if you put a lime in the top of it and sort of push it down in there, they say it's just real refreshing. The lime sort of brightens up the cerveza.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's not so bad, so maybe these solar ejections will be like corona, and these coronas, if you get them real cold and put a lime in the coconut and drink it all up. So maybe if that's the way they reference it, maybe it's not so bad, because we don't have any experience in it, but we hear they're real tasty if you're hot and sort of parched, a cold corona.
I thought you were wondering if this was the same person. Yeah, we're still doing Jay Widener. I didn't know if you were asking that.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you were asking?
No, we were just...
Okay.
We were being pokey that this seems to be eternal, but there is eternity, so we have propensity to hang on.
Okay, and the next topic is autism, and you'll be very interested in this. This has to do with the idea of Philip K. Dick's story, The Minority Report, which was made into a movie by Steven Spielberg. And one of the themes in there was about the precogs. And Carey's idea is that the powers that be are creating autism because this creates precogs, and they're going to use these precog children.
Well, there's a new biography by Douglas Copeland of McLuhan, and says that all of McLuhan's brilliant insights came from his autism. Ion is pro...
which is it? Was it autism or Catholicism?
Ion is also pro-autism. Ion celebrates, says these kids are taking their power and refusing to acknowledge anybody else. So let's see. I guess Jay wouldn't go along with that. But okay, I'll start the tape.
Certainly, as what we say is that the biggest secret, that is the biggest secret. In other words, our own power is the biggest secret that they don't want us to know. I have to say, however, that humanity is waking up. And
you would agree with Carrie's statements that humanity is waking up, or do you don't like the word waking up?
Well, we like it, except that she's acknowledging that up until now everybody's been asleep, and we don't say that.
Okay.
He's saying that everybody was st- stone cold dead, and now they're alive. And because they're now alive, now you've got to deal with the precogs. And what we want now, Bob, you've got to do something. People will blow their brains out. We've got to have some interaction here, because this is... What's a precog, Bob?
I don't know. I've never heard this before. Ed, what's a precog?
Oh, sorry. Precog is it would be like an oracle, the ability to foresee what's happening in the future.
All right. Then what they're using is they're shortening precognition.
Yes.
They're using precognition and making it a dogma of something you've got to be afeard of. Okay. So everybody listening, precog just means that you get it. That's what they say precog is. Precognition. You have a cognitive capacity or propensity to thought in an advanced stage that the cognition you get before you have cognition. Now, that don't make a lot of sense when we say it, but good luck with that, y'all. Just see how you go.
That's the cognition of drama.
Oh. Oh, so you're saying that it's a tragedy. Oh, we know tragedies. Okay, this will be delicious. All right. Hey, Bill did good with them tragedies. He was good at that. That's good.
Bill Shakespeare.
Is it in Elizabethan, in that original dialect? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, is that what we're looking forward to? Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, let's go back to Come Along.
And what you're talking about is a precog, you know, abilities that have to do with being precogs. And I'm wondering if you're aware of autism, the role of autism, and the fact that there are lots of autistic children more than ever before being born, and that this is actually being engineered by the Black Projects with a purpose in mind. Are you aware of that?
Well, I mean, are you talking about the vaccines that cause autism? So you're saying that the Black Ops people are creating autism to keep us stupefied?
No, actually what they're doing, well, what they have been doing is certainly trying to create a race of precogs such that they can use them, because what they do is create, that's one aspect. There's another aspect to it that has to do with a jump in the evolutionary timeline for humanity has to do with that gene, apparently. And, you know, I just have some preliminary research in this regard, but I was just curious whether you had gone down that path at all, because it does factor in to where that, you know, because they're always trying to create a Superman, as you may know. And so what we're really talking about is a creation of humanity 2.0.
Okay, I am. Yes.
Bullshit.
Is that all you have to say, though?
Really, really. Think about this now. Come on. Ed, I never thought eternity would hold the span. When we in non-physical would beg Bob to have interaction to get something out of this. You see, it's normally the other way around, you see. But you're sucking hind tit at this point, because, Bob, come on, help us here. Get something. Is there something here?
No, nothing. There's nothing here. I mean, if we take what you say seriously, autism, why don't you explain a little bit why autism is a valuable thing for kids to have?
Okay, maybe we can do that. Yes, okay. Here we go. It's not a communist plot. It ain't something somebody's trying to cram down your rectum, your uterus, your throat hole. Autistic children are not the sperm that the mama should be swallowing. Okay, now that's extreme, but there you go. What autism is that these children are coming forth fresh from non-physical, fresh from source. They're coming forth, and they're not going to be put in no box, and they're not going to be crammed down with this problem and that problem. They're not going to be told what to do. They're not going to have it. And by God themselves, they'll show you. You'll move your entire world around because you have a special needs child. Well, that's because those them babies coming forth, they're not going to be punched around, pushed around, and choked down. They're not going to learn their timetables. They're not going to learn your alphabet. They're not going to do what you say. They're not going to take your word for it. They're going to know because they know. And this disconnection that you've activated in your precognitive state, this beforehand. So if it's a precognitive state, don't you think everybody ought to already know that there's going to be autistic children? Not to mention that you've foundered them on Ritalin and every other kind of ADHD, DHHD, CC, BDDD. Uh-oh, sounds like we've caught it too. Of this dimensional dimension. You get it in the very young and the very, very old. Well, all that is the human creator kicking around a little bit. They're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it no more. And if you think you're going to control this earth, then let the autistic ones come along. They'll show you quick how the milk got in the coconut. And the whole point of it is they're not going to have it. And you're not going to make them, and you're not going to push them. Try a little. Give them a little drug. Give them something to eat. Put them in the sane asylum. Yeah, they didn't tell what they used to call it. They'd send them to the farm. And then what they used to call it? They'd send them to the sane asylum. Put them away quietly. And you don't have them sitting in the front room of your house. You put them in the back room. Well, all that's happening is that the marvelous human creators are making a way. They are single-handedly undoing. They have to make special schools for them. Oh, ain't that wonderful? They haven't had special treatment. Oh, ain't that wonderful? They don't fit in the mold, and they're not going to, and you can't make them. Try as you might. It's nothing other than the marvelous creativity of ever-loving God's coming forth to straighten out you disconnected, discombobulated, marvelous coconut-sucking, marvelous disconnected human creators that thinks you're going to do something. Bob, they must be trying to tell us something if you listen a little bit. And you come back and you forfeit every other boundless point of creation, and then what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Well, here you go. These autistic children will soon be running this country because they'll come into their place of power deliciously and marvelously and say, by God, yes, that's me. I don't have to follow your damn rules and regulations. You'll not judge me. I'll not be conformed into your box. And the sooner you figure it out, the better you're going to be served. But if you want to take another 60,000 years to figure that out, we've got time. There's no hurry. There's no hurry. And what these marvelous, they used to call them idiot savants. Can't say stupid. Bob don't allow stupid. He says it to make us say stupid. He just likes to hear us say stupid. We don't know why. But you call it an idiot savant that we're brilliant. Now, what is that odd? A idiot savant, isn't that the epitome of an un-oxymoron? So then they were special because all they did is they had gifts and talents in a different arena. They didn't have to learn the multiplication tables. They could be beautiful, marvelous harpists or pianists or painters or they could do what was the Rain Man, y'all's Rain Man. He could cipher real good. He could cipher. He couldn't tell which end was up and couldn't get himself out of the rain, but he could count the raindrops and tell you how many fell. Well, that's the same dynamic that the human creators are activating because they're coming forth fresh from source to show these human creators that the NEA don't know what the DNA of the FNA of the BFN of the BFD that's going to be their JUDGE. WWJD. Now, at least you're getting a little bit of meat into this, Ed, because otherwise it was going woefully south. Oh, wait, now would that be south of the sun or north of Mars? Oh, well, it's one of those. Well, it's certainly going in a different direction because it starts giving some hope There's been enough of this cramming down humans' creators' throats that they're less than. You already know on planet Earth, if you're not ascending or don't know that you have your power, you already know what you can't do. You thoroughly have embraced what Big Brother's not going to allow. You thoroughly embrace what the government's going to tell you is okay and not okay. And what's happening now, not for the first time, but in a very mass exodus, an exegesis of what's coming along, is that the human creators ain't going to have it. They're not going to be kicked, pushed, or pandered, or pondered, because they're separating themselves from this authoritarian rule and coming into the old timey. This ain't the new age. This is the old school. We're going to start kicking it old school, where you come into your pure place of power. And once you come into your pure place of power, you'll never want it any other way. And now all these anomalies and conundrums and who, what, when, where, and how, and why, these degrees of separation will be flitting away. It won't be long till you'll call Noe Webster, the lexicographer, and say, Noe, take out them words. We don't use them words no more. Give it to Google. Let them make a Google out of it. We'll never use those words. Those words will absolutely leave the vocabulary. And those words, again, just for the new folks coming along, who, what, when, where, how, and why. And we'd like to just submit for the listening audience, which we so graciously appreciate that y'all are so patient to listen to this drivel up to this point so far, without being mean, but how far can you take this without wanting to vomit? Soon, you'll want to eliminate those words from your vocabulary. What would your world look like if you never used those words, those degrees of separation? If you didn't ever have that pondering to use those words, then you'd actually come to a place where you'd know. Well, if you know, then you don't even have to think. Isn't that what they accuse the autistic children of having, the not having the capacity to do, is think? Interesting, isn't it?
Well, see, you know, I've been accused of being a hypnotist controlling you, Ion, and obviously I triggered this outburst.
We wish you'd do a little better job, Ben.
Oh, wow, that's where the Winchell and Jerry Mahoney reference came from in Cash Flow. Mahoney was Winchell's dummy. Winchell was a ventriloquist.
So someone was thinking I was doing that.
There you go.
That was bored in North Carolina, didn't have anything else to think about, so that was a good enough thing.
Yes.
And we appreciate it, because it had great comedic value.
Yeah, now there's Ion's incredible memory. That's Richard from North Carolina. Ion's remembering that particular person's emails and suggestions.
Yeah.
But other people I've heard are claiming that Carol and I control you. We've hypnotized you. MJ, the other worlder, has made this claim, but it wasn't taped by Ed. Anyways, I just wanted to say, you know, Ion pleaded for a release, and I brought up autism, the right topic, the right button to press, and Ion just blew a spume right there.
Yes, it was a, what do you call that, one of those solar ejection fractures, spermalots?
Yes.
It was a spermalot, that's what it was.
Okay, let's... So the assumption Carrie's making here is that autism's a problem and the bad guys are forcing it on the kids.
Well, don't worry, it'll all be over soon, because the Aryans will have you killed off soon, so you shouldn't fret about it if that's the case, but we'll yield.
Okay, so let's just hear the rest of it, Carrie and Jay on the theme here.
A race of precogs such that they can use them. Because what they do... There's another aspect to it.
now, Jay Wiedner's been put into the manipulative fatty position. He's hearing the preposterous notions of Karen. He's going, if anybody starts talking, the other one doesn't believe them.
But here's the issue, Bob. Now this is a good point. Since you got us all worked up now.
Oh, living somebody, again, living.
Somebody may get pregnant before this is over with, because you done got us all stirred up now. Here's the issue. The words that come out of your mouth is powerful. Now, that's whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, because what's a belief anyway? A thought you've been thinking for a long time. You consistently sit around and listen to this gobbledygook crap, and the next thing you know, it'll be a creation, because that's how creation is created. That's how things get manifested. And you run around all day, every day, worried about rectal probing, and it won't be long till somebody will be sticking something up your ass. That's what we're trying to tell you. Just so fasten your seatbelt, and you better buy up the Astroglide, because you're probably going to need it. Your words have power. Now, yes, every conversation is two conversations, and yes, you can talk yourself out of paradise if you want to, but the point of coming into your place of power is to quit nollygagging every little tidbit that comes along and start activating as an acceptable meme of expression. Now, if you want to get in caught up in these Aryans, space Jews, Hebrewoids, blah, 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 Martians, UFOs, IFOs, IUDs. Oh, wait, that's something else. If you want to get hung up in that, you certainly can, but you're just causing a larger separation of things that you have to then overcome in your ascension process of coming to your power. And if you can soften that up and only have the things come out of your mouth that you want to experience on this planet on Earth, that's how you got everything you got right now. Oh, but they want oil. And they bitched and bitched and bitched and sained and blowed and take on. Till now it won't be long, you're going to have a Gulf of Mexico full of oil. And we say, hallelujah, the heavens are rejoicing. If you can't figure it out soon enough that you're the marvelous creator that creates all this gobbledygook mess that you're bitching about, you better figure it out pretty quick, because it won't be long, and we're going to say it one more time, that oil will be sliding right up the Mississippi River. So just hang on.
I had a passing thought, just a passing thought. You know, if you want something, speak it. Talk it up to yourself or talk it to others. But Ion also says if you've got some good ideas, keep it to your closer chest.
No. Clear that up. Keep your ideas to yourself until they are thoroughly developed.
So don't talk about them until they're – wait a minute. Don't talk about them until they're developed?
Mm-hmm. Fully developed. Because
and then, okay, but then you wait till they're fully developed, then you talk them up. But that period where you're developing them, that's the limbo period where you can't say you're creating, trying to decide whether you want to create it or not.
Well, listen, it's not even that. What'll happen is you'll have a good idea that comes, you're God, you have ideas. You'll have a good idea that you're developing, considering, preferring in a 3-2-1 creation, and then you go to project come along and let them talk you out of it. You go to a lawyer and ask him what about it, and he'll tell you how it won't work. Well, hell, if you don't know what won't work, you don't need a lawyer to tell you that it can't work. You already know it won't work. So you start sharing it with everybody walking around. Everybody has rectums, but some people don't smell as good as others. And you start sharing your inside, wonderful, delicious essence of creation with everybody to see what kind of response you're going to get out of it. And guess what? They'll talk you out of it.
So you're saying that if you have, you can talk to yourself the idea. You don't have to make the words heard by others. You can talk the words to yourself as you're developing the idea, and that will help you manifest.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, no, it's not help you manifest. It's you don't have to say a word to manifest, but what we're saying, what does manifest is completely in direct correlation proportion to the words that come out of your mouth.
All right, so if you've got a good idea. Ion, I don't know if you're addressing it. If you've got good ideas.
Yeah.
No, you've got something you want to manifest. So,
well, you have
you
an idea.
Talking
you don't
it to
know
people.
If it's good or not.
Well, when do you decide it's good and then tell the clerk down the street?
when you want it and you're ready to go with it.
Okay, so there's a period of percolation of kneading, of K-N-E-A-D-I-N-G.
Working it out. That's right. That's right. You don't mix it up before you knead it and then go show it to everybody and say, look at my bread. Look at my bread. And they say, that ain't bread. That's flour and water and salt and yeast.
Okay.
No, no,
so
it's
when,
bread. They'll talk
yeah,
you
when
out
you
of
let it. When you let it rise, you stop kneading and let it rise, that could be the period you talk it up with people. That would help help it rise?
Well, we would say wait till it's come out of the oven and cooled.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, let's go back to the autism or what carried
that was. That felt better, Ed. We was getting a little. We was having a little non-physical constipation there.
Yeah, what is it? Tourette's? Is it ions like a Tourette syndrome here? They'll bottle up and then has to mouth off?
Well, something, because it was kind of like it was going south fast, and we didn't know exactly where north was, but we knew it was going the right way.
And so in a sense, you could say, because with autism obviously comes a lot of problems with children. So it's they have this gene, they have these abilities, but at the same time, they have other genes and other problems. So it's not a perfect solution.
Did you want to say something, Ian?
Yes, we do. The children with autism don't have a problem. The mamas and daddies that can't put their children in the front room, they're the ones that's got the problems. Them children is perfect. They don't have a care or a problem in the world. They don't have any less than this. And they're not having it, and they're not even going to listen to you to tell them that they're less than. They're going to busy pleasing to like themselves, and they'll kick and scream and holler and do whatever they have to do. They have no trouble. They have no issue. They are perfect. And marvelous, and it's a good example of what real power looks like without any authority. And they try to dope them and beat them to death and all that kind of stuff, and every time they suppress it in one place, it squirts out somewhere else. And we are delighted.
Okay.
But it's one of the aspects and one of the ways that they've been going about trying to upgrade the human race from behind the scenes. But in a sense, you could look at autistic children as being the sacrifice to do so. What it does is change the gene pool, and it changes it. It's kind of if you look at a flat line on a graph, then you see a jump. That's what the autistic gene does. And if it enters into enough people in the population, there's an effect that happens. This is a whole sort of secret area that I've been putting together. I was just curious whether you had gone down that road at all.
We don't hear his answer. Do you know what he said, Ed? Had he gone down that road?
No, he was kind of surprised by this. This was new to him, the idea of using autism for precogs.
Well, precogs, in other words, erase the precogs with autism.
Well,
why don't you just paint them indigo? Then you'll have indigo children. Isn't that better? Don't they like them better? Oh, wait, they can't control them either. Maybe not.
I guess autism was a side effect of having a precog. It's kind of like in the Minority Report movie, precogs had to float in the water to retain their precognitive abilities.
Well, now, wait a second, though. But aren't the autistic children precogs as well? Otherwise, how did her flatline get them into that state of genetic ambiguity?
You know, Ion, I tried being an autistic child when I was very small, and my parents beat it out of me. They would whip me until
right.
I stopped that shit.
You got that right. That's exactly right. Because even the scriptures, Ed, will tell you quick that sometimes you've got to extend that helping hand. Extend that helping hand. And if you've got a child coming along that's got a bad mouth, if you put your fist down their mouth long enough, they'll stop it. Exactly. But if you have a place where they're coming in and they can't correct the child and give them dynamics of taking their power and having appropriate responses with how they use their power, then it goes awry and it goes crazy, and then you're running around looking at naked people on the boob tube and everything under the sun. And the point is that you're confusing authority with power. Your parents, Ed, did not have authority, but they had complete power. And they'd show it to you to where you could feel it. It'd get it right in your inner kingdom if it's necessary. And then after a little while, they set a standard that was acceptable and appropriate in their household. That's where you were living, so it was in their household. And then you learn real quick that any consequences that came along from there, now it's not that they were stern or stodgy. They'd let you get away with stuff, but at the same time, they gave you a way to engage your power, but you'd play hell telling your daddy that you was the authoritarian in this conversation.
When I tried to say, I'm not having it, they were the ones that had the final say, and they were saying they weren't having me saying, I'm not having it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But see, you saying I'm not having it had nothing to do with your power. It had everything to do with you trying to assert your authority. People talk about teenagers being troublesome. They're not troublesome. You've just got to make sure that they know the difference between power and authority. And if they get the difference between power and authority, authority never comes in question. They'll yield. And when they yield, then you as a parent, you also very easily can yield because you know they are very powerful. If you get off of them a little bit and give them a little room to exercise their power, then this authority business never comes up. You don't have to take a strop to them so regular. But then JW's daddy would tell you quick. If you go to whip a mule, have you ever whipped a mule, Ed?
No, I haven't.
Well, they say that if you whip a mule, that it's one solid job. It's a big job to whip a mule. But if you whip a mule right, you won't ever have to do it again. Because then from as stubborn as a mule, I guess is the way they describe it, once you get the authority straightened out against the power, that mule can still pull 1,000 times of your authority once you correct or set the precedent with the mule of what's power and what's authority.
Okay. The precogs will be erased by autism. Is that what she's saying? The autistic or precogs?
She's saying that the autism is a byproduct of making good precogs. There's one that should have thrown back. That's what she's saying. And then we don't know who is the interview and who's the interviewee at this point, but the research has been thoroughly established and magnificently conformed into the dynamic that's being expressed here. And what we're saying is, bullshit.
Okay, I just want to check. I might have missed a little bit.
We won't.
I know.
Actually, what they're doing, what they have been doing is certainly trying to create a race of precogs such that they can use them, because what they do that one aspect. There's another aspect to it that has to do with a jump in the evolutionary timeline for humanity. It has to do with that gene, apparently. And, I just have some preliminary research.
That's a gene that causes autism or precog?
Yeah, it may be that they've isolated a precognitive gene so they can create precogs. But the
apparently, so it's apparent, so can't you name which gene it is? Wouldn't there be a chromosomal attachment that you could attach to it?
Right, so the autism is where the development of precogs goes awry and screwed up is autism, right?
So when you suppress this precog gene, then it squirts out in another way. Is that what you're saying? Sounds familiar, doesn't it, Bob?
Yeah. Okay, I'm just gonna go back just before that.
Robert, we want you to interview. Don't go back anymore. We want you to interview, come along, and get these prepositions and these pronouns straightened out. Because even the autistic children are going to start having trouble getting this after a little bit, because there's too many research, apparently, and they, and it, and that, and some of them, and lots of that, and close to here, and nearly there. There's a lot of that's beautiful, eloquently flow, but it's what you accuse us of sometimes, is you had a lot of wordy words, but you sure didn't say much, Ion.
Doing it. Certainly trying to create a race of precogs such that they can use them, because what they do...
Ah. That's really what I want to hear.
That's your fourth time through, Bob, so... And we hope that maybe he'll do it again. Let's see. Maybe we can get him to do it again.
I'm going autistic on you guys. I didn't repeat myself.
Ah. We'll do it for you if you won't make us listen to it again.
Okay, one more time.
Because what they do.
I love that.
Ooh.
Jay learned from Lance.
Oh.
This is the end of it. See, he learned from my aunts how to do this, because this interview is probably after.
No,
that's what they do. Okay, I'll stop. All right, Stargate, next topic.
What about the notion that at the moment, what we're getting is a lot of information about the Stargates? And I'm wondering if you're aware of the Stargates, if you're aware of the portals, and that there is a war over the Stargates here on this planet, and so on. Because the Stargates apparently are key to what in essence is the transformation of the planet and the evacuation, the positive evacuation of, in other words, through ascension, through personal ascension.
Using some of your themes, portals and ascension and Stargates. Well, they're talking about exploiting the portals, but they're all open now as of April 15th.
Right.
So, okay, what did you want to say?
We want to say, what's the difference in a positive evacuation and I guess the opposite would be a negative evacuation?
Good question.
Well, I mean, what is a positive? What would be the difference in a positive evacuation and a negative? I mean, that'd be like saying a good exodus and a bad exodus, wouldn't it?
Okay, but what is the image she has of portals as opposed to your image of portals?
It is something to have a war about.
Good. Okay, let's carry on.
Possibly group ascension, and I don't know how you're feeling about that. But in essence, the Stargates are the key, and I'm wondering if you have gotten and you're aware of the information about Stargates.
Well, I'm not. I've heard from Hoagland and Wilcox and others about, you know, the Stargate thing, but I think we have to understand something very important. You and I are both Stargates, and the pineal gland is a Stargate.
I agree. Is the pineal gland a Stargate?
Well, is pineal a geographic location?
No, it's a gland in the body.
No, then within the essence of your meat sack is not a Stargate.
That gets into Dan Winter kind of thinking.
Oh, well, you'll have to check the sacred geometry about that.
Yeah, Dan Winter's sacred penis geometry. Okay, so...
Penile. Maybe it's penile geometry.
Okay.
You just have to know how to unfold your hyperdimensional body and slip it through the... Into the eye.
Sounds like Ion stuff perverted.
That's rich.
He sounds like a McLuhanite. You take the hyperdimensional body and move it through the visual space of the eye, which has been pretty conditioned.
Oh, okay. So if we keep going, Bob, does that mean that we can have a hyperdimensional orgasm?
That's Dan Winter's territory.
Oh.
Sacred penis.
Well, how do you unwrap it? How do you unwrap it? But I guess, well, I don't know.
Yeah, would we have been like
a new meaning to? Well, how do you bag your hyperdimensional Stargate?
Appropriately asked, all questions will be answered, and all answers will be questioned.
Well, okay. It's just if you are a portal in and of yourself, then your eternalness could be transubstantiated. But the issue then becomes, how would you ever, if your body is the gate, how would you ever know or calculate when you took the gate to another world?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So your urethra is not urine. It's what you use to expel urine from your body. But if your urine was your urethra, when would you know if you made water?
Well taken. Well spoken. An unanswerable exclamatory by Ion.
Well, that sort of answered, isn't it? I mean, isn't...
No, no, we can't answer your objection to their statements.
Oh. Well, Ed, do you know the difference between urine and your urethra?
Yes, I hope I do.
Okay.
Or I'll be urinating my urethra.
Exactly.
Aretha. We said we keep Aretha Franklin out of this.
R-E-S-T-E-C-P.
So that means it'd take. So now the best you're going to hope for in this scenario is you're going to be pissing on the diva.
Aretha?
Yeah, the diva.
Yeah, Aretha.
We showering her with gold.
Oh.
Orme, forgive me some of that orme.
Oh, yes, Lord. That's what caused the autism, right, Bob?
Yep, David Hudson. His experiment went awry. Awry.
Okay. Awry. Okay. Awry. Okay, so now that there's a clear differential, the pineal gland, now one thing that we'll give them a nickel's worth of due, even if it is to the devil himself incarnate, is the pineal gland can oh, good gracious, Bob, if we're having your delayed intelligence.
Stargate.
No.
Going through a Stargate. No. Delayed intelligence.
Through the thyroid, the pineal gland, through the thyroid, and very close in connection with the hypothalamus, what it can do is it can give you a sensory perception of when you're close to a portal and or a gate, okay? But through gates, it's not as necessary because they're big, and you'll feel that energy flux. There's a great deal of energy, and more energy involved in a gate than there is a portal. It's just bigger. But with the portal, sometimes you can have it from a sensory feeling place. That's what a lot of folks are looking for, is where the portals are. Those glands can help you attach the feeling place to the labyrinth of your mind that you can maybe more easily notice. We sent a little exercise out where people look, and you've put it on the farm, so we're so thankful and gracious that you share the information, Ed. Some of that other stuff we question to the ends of time, but that's okay. It makes for nice contrast so the human creators can decide what they prefer. But these exercises and practices that you do, looking in the mirror, angles, sideways, looking at the optical illusion things for the wavy, what that does is it sets it up in your mind so that when you're out and about and you see that without looking at the little thing on the boob tube, then you can recognize what that looks like. Well, that activation of that wavy can have an influence on the pineal gland through the thyroid, which will set a whole... You talk about people that have an overactive or underactive thyroid. Well, that's that balance of your metabolism. Well, you certainly would have a heightened sense of metabolism when you walking along the beach and all of a sudden it gets wavy, and you triangulate where you are and step through the wavy in your different world. It might make you more sensitive to the notion that you are close and can go through the open portal or gate. So we will give them that, but that's it's a first stretch based on what you're fixing to talk about.
What are you giving them? The pineal connection between Stargate and the pineal.
The pineal can let you know you're close to a portal or a gate, but it is not a portal or a gate.
Right, and you say through the thyroid, would the thyroid has to be activated?
Well, if your thyroid's not activated, you have no metabolism, and then we'll say indigestion is better than no digestion at all. So without a thyroid, you ain't living long anyway, Bob.
So, yeah, you're saying the pineal through the thyroid. Why do you say the phrase through the thyroid?
Because they're connected.
Okay. And then to the hypothalamus? To the pineal?
Well, that goes through the hypothalamus at the base of the skull. Because, see, what the pineal...
From the pineal. Pineal through the thyroid to the hypothalamus. That's what you're saying?
No, from the pineal through the hypothalamus to the thyroid. Because one sets the endorphins in your mind, or what you call the adrenals, activates the adrenals. Well, that balanced flow comes through the thyroid, which balances that level or degree of this adrenaline within the metabolism that you've already established. But then the hypothalamus tells you how hot or cold that adrenal process has been activated. So pineal gland, thyroid to hypothalamus for a balance. So within those three points, oh my stars, triangulation, you can find out in your meat sack body that there's an anomaly that lets you know you are close to a portal, because they're all open now. You don't have to open them anymore.
So me following it closely, you mix up your twos and throughs, but I should ignore that. You basically were saying through the pineal.
Well, it's
I don't
two,
know.
It's
Do it, from, let's state the triangulation correctly. What is it with the proper prepositions?
Pineal.
Right, well,
thyroid.
I mean with the preposition in the appropriate point. Like, where does this begin? You come near a portal, you're near a portal. What's activated first?
Pineal gland will set loose endorphins in your brain and agitate it.
The mind,
the brain.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay,
and
now brain.
And the brain will send a message, because that's where the pineal gland is, send it to the thyroid.
Okay.
The thyroid will respond because it controls your degree or level of metabolism, of how you have the energy to get up and do something, or you want to lay in bed, up or down, metabolism.
Okay.
Now, when that's key is set, that sends a message also to the brain, and then that runs that to third point is the hypothalamus, which is at the very base of the cranial of the skull of the brain, and it's the hot or cold. That's the balance of the heat exchange. So with those three points, then you can balance and see, feel, know how close you are to a portal.
Perfect.
In
Thank
that
you.
Order.
Okay,
Sorry,
great.
Now, see, if everybody else had to go through Bob, they wouldn't get away with some of this gobbledygook you've been listening to for a little bit.
That's right. Okay, continue
Bob
with...
Bob ain't going to let it go.
Yeah, because I want to understand it.
Overlay it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not understand.
So
overlay.
If you vomit it up, you want to know what it looks, what you swallowed.
That could be a kind of paranoia. So you're worried you don't want to have it again. So you're looking for the reason to avoid. Well, that might be appropriate strategy.
Yeah. Might so if it be. Makes you sick, just eat it again and see if it makes you sick again. Then you'll know.
I guess I'm avoiding that. So I want to know
Good.
Based on
That's
the first
right.
time.
There, you won't catch us repeating gossip. Good, Bob. Let's do it.
Okay, Stargate. It seems that Carrie has taken over the interview, but maybe, Ed, you've picked these parts because it is talking about themes that Ion likes to talk about. So the Jay Wiedner part is irrelevant, right, Ed?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
That's
just...
Right.
It's a statement by Carrie that's appropriate we can use. Okay.
That seems to be a recurring theme.
With Carrie?
No, irrelevance.
Oh, okay.
So Ion, when the pineal, how did you say,
ahead,
activates the mind or agitates the mind?
No, neither. What happens is your pineal gland, when you get close to a portal or a gate, now we're not getting into this stargate gobbledygook. It's a gate, it's not a stargate, it's or a sea gate. When you get close to a gate or a portal, your pineal gland will send a message to your mind to say, hey, something's up, we don't know, something's up, we don't know, we can't get anywhere, so we don't know, but sends a message, and the mind says, okay, there are endorphins, danger, Will Robinson, there are endorphins in the brain. And so if the mind says, we ain't having this, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, you're just a pineal gland. What
Chicken Little, that pineal Chicken Little.
LOL, or something with your rectum off, laughing my rectum off. So it sends a second signal to the thyroid. And the thyroid is what controls your metabolism, of how you metabolize your world. And we'll say it that way broadly because it does more than what they say it does. But then the thyroid checks it out and goes, okay, yep, this is a little outside our typical run of metabolism. There's been no vast sugars. The pancreas isn't shutting down. You know, you're not throwing off ketones. You're not wild or wild as a March hare. Oh, wait, that would be the third planet. Uh-oh, wait, careful, sorry. But anyway, then what happens is it sends a message back to the mind and says, okay, run this by the hypothalamus and see how hot or cold it is. Remember when you were a boy, Ed, and you played the hot and cold game? Somebody knew where it was, and that's your hypothalamus. And then you're getting a little closer, and your hypothalamus say, you're getting cold, you're getting colder, you're a long way. You're getting hot. You're right there. Well, when you have that setup in place, you can't ever miss. If they give you accurate direction of how hot or cold you are to the proximity of the thing you're trying to find, and you've already gone through the pineal gland and the thyroid, time you get to the hypothalamus, they're just giving you the clues of exactly what angle and how hot or cold you are to entering the gate.
So the thyroid checks out the panicking response of the pineal.
It makes sure you don't have a false positive or a negative positive.
Right, and the thyroid uses the hypothalamus to back up its decision about what the pineal
is getting. It's answering, Houston, we may have a problem.
The thyroid goes, Houston, we may have a problem.
The pineal gland saying something's up, and they send it to committee of the thyroid to say, is this normal? is this normal adrenal pressure we're feeling, or are we close to something? Is the event horizon nigh? Are the Aryans come to rectally probe us or not? And then the thyroid says, no, the Aryans ain't coming to probe you. Take a nap or go to the beach or do whatever you do. And then you go, oh, okay, I was just checking. Well, if it is close to a portal or a gate, then it will send it to the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus then can tell you with triangulation. We just love it when we bring that up. And stupid. So we call it stupid triangulation, Bob, and you could like it. In that triangulation position, then what happens? Your hypothalamus tells you how hot or cold, how close or far you are to this thing, this gate, that has set your pineal gland into activation, which sends adrenaline rushing through your body.
Right. So if the thyroid decides it might be worth looking into it, they bring in the Jack Bauer, the hypothalamus, to check it out.
Yeah, and they run it by Chloe first to see if it's even worth to tell Jack about it. So there is your triangulation. And see, you can't say you can't get triangulation if you base it on 24, Bob. You'll get it every time. It's good. So now all they got to do is watch how many 8 seasons of 8 years worth of 24 to figure out triangulation. Well, that's a worthy aptitude. So,
well, Well, you got Chloe and Jack. Who's the third person?
Well, that'd be Alison Taylor, Bob.
Oh, the president. Okay, now, the pineal picks up something. Is the mind, who's in the position to decide whether to act? Something is watching how the thyroid reacts to the pineal response. You know, and
well, the body responds. Now, see, the body responds, like adrenaline and metabolism and how hot or cold you are.
They respond to the pineal.
Well, the pineal is just the one that sends the first signal. The same way if you stump your toe in the
we're going to get lost in a lemon squeezing here. The pineal senses something.
Yeah, it's in
what function? What function says it should go to the thyroid to check it out?
The increased adrenaline in the body.
So the adrenaline will respond to the pineal.
No. The pineal causes the adrenaline to be increased.
And the mind is not involved with this. The thyroid then decides whether it
the
should.
The thyroid gets this. The thyroid gets a signal from the brain, says, okay, we have increased
from
adrenaline.
The brain. Wait, brain meaning the pineal.
Well, that's
there's the brain. You got pineal, and now you brought in the word brain.
The mind. Yes, Bob, that's where the pineal gland is, but it runs that through the how does the pineal communicate to the thyroid? Through the synaptic nerve endings from the brain, from the mind. It's just
okay, so the thyroid assesses every signal from the pineal.
Yes, and also everything to do with metabolism. Also.
Okay, so the pineal picks up something, the adrenaline responds, the thyroid
The pineal causes adrenaline to be increased. And
so then the thyroid looks at that and says, is this worthy?
No, it sends a signal to the thyroid and says, hey, we've got increased pressure. We've got extra adrenaline. Check it out and see what the hell's going on. Thyroid says, okay, we own it. We got it. We'll check it out. And they gauge that increased adrenaline based on the metabolism of the human that they're already a part of, the meat sack.
Which is, they'll check with the hypothalamus to confirm.
No, they check it out. And if it's in range.
The thyroid checks it out.
The thyroid says, no, this isn't a gate or a portal. He's running a marathon, so it would be increased adrenaline. Wait, he's engaging in coitus, so he would have more adrenaline. The vagina is not a portal or a gate. Everything's okay. Although many of them have found heaven, in the vagina, and that's all right, no problem there. But don't confuse it. And so you don't fall into the portal. Many have tried to jump in. But so you keep yourself separate from the vagina and the relationship. That's your thyroid says, no, this is normal. This increased adrenaline is normal coitus. There's not a portal. There's not a gate. Although it may be the most heaven some people ever find, but that's okay. It lets you know that this is a typical, correct, applicable response.
But if they can't find that, they bring in
then
the hypothalamus.
They send a signal to the hypothalamus. Says, no. There's no cognizant reason that this should be this exaggerated. It goes outside of the box of what we're looking at as normal as far as metabolism goes. Let's send it to the hypothalamus and see how hot or cold we are. And then once we get the hot and cold game down, we not only have identified the gate and or portal, we have now, it's already activated, so then we can then choose to engage, and we know where it is. And that's a practical application of how you know. But now that doesn't tell human creators how to find them, and we do, and we'll give them specifics, and then it falls into that category of human creators can't know nothing, and maybe autistic ones.
Yeah, shut up. Calm down, Butler. No, the thing is, the thyroid can assess on its own whether this is a vagina or a portal.
Yeah.
And then it says, oh, it's worthy looking in. So that's Chloe at the counterterrorism unit. So then she gets in, she decides, no, this is different. She brings in Jack to check it out. And both Jack and Chloe are responding to the panic of President Alison Taylor.
who said there's a problem, Jack, get on it.
Yeah, that so she's the pineal.
Yes. Good.
Okay. All right. Now, what is the mind in relation to those three points?
The conduit that connects it up. It's the pipes that hook up, up the plumbing.
It's the, what, you know, McLuhan said, tactility is the thing that's not a sense. It organizes sensory data. So that's like in the tactile position. It's not tactility as we define.
No, it's just the extension cord that connects up the juice to the end place. Which
it's sort of like the central switchboard.
That orchestrates triangulation.
So is that the fourth position in relation to triangulation?
The gate would be the fourth position.
Oh, that's the gate, the thing that the pineal is picking up on.
And that the thyroid has validated, and that the hypothalamus says you're hot, you're close to.
Right, and the mind would be the fifth element.
No, the mind is the pipe. The mind's just the extension cord. Don't include that, because then you'll get screwed in the labyrinth of your mind. That's just how the communication's going. You're having a conversation right here, right now, but you don't say that the phone is having the conversation. That's just how you're getting the communication to the three parties.
Is the phone what is?
The phone, it would be the mind.
It's not what the phrase what is refers to. You know, fastest path to what is joy. Is the phone what is?
The phone is what you're using. The phone is what you're using as the fastest path of your joy to communicate. But the phone is not communicating. You are communicating using the phone.
So is the phone? Can we use the word medium for phone?
You could call it Arians if you want.
Okay, but you know how McLuhan used the word medium. So if the phone is a medium, if the medium changes to print or to movies or to computers, does that change the dynamic between the three points in the triangulation?
No, it's still the communication process, and you call it the mind. So
you're taking the anti-McLuhan point that the communication process is neutral.
Yeah. We would like it better if you called the mind spaghetti. And the spaghetti is the noodles that connect up the sauce to you. And
right.
That's why they call it using your noodle.
No, but we have some point. We can establish what you disagree. McLuhan used to say people thought the medium was neutral were gains in fallacy. You're taking the position that the medium is neutral, and you don't agree with McLuhan's concerns.
We just don't have any concerns, because if it's neutral, then how could it aberrate you? If it's neutral, it's neutral. If the medium is neutral,
I'm just finding out what you mean by what your definition of the medium is, and it's different from McLuhan. We're just establishing it. That's good. I now know. I have a reference point to work on this point later, some other thing.
Okay. Wonderful. That's wonderful. But you'll find that if it can't be validated or compared with McLuhan, it still may have a validity.
That's all right.
According to Marshall.
Yeah, no, of course. He was the last McLuhanite. And I'm not a McLuhanite. I just find that his language is interesting in this case. He's only one connecting the dots.
He's sort of like Jesus. He was a good
No,
Jew.
He ain't no Jesus.
Yeah, uh-huh. He was too.
No, there's no moral. We're not evaluating the moral character or whatever of McLuhan.
Jesus was moral.
We're talking about the cliche image of Jesus. Okay, so he ain't
Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a Christian, but he was the essence of Christianity. McLuhan was a Catholic who was Catholic, and then he became a McLuhanite.
No, he didn't. See, so you're wrong in that. McLuhan has the language for looking at the relationships between triangulation and the container for the triangulation.
So did
the container being the medium.
So
you see, McLuhan would say it matters whether the brain is that phone, which is neutral. Whether it's a book, a phone, or a movie, makes a difference.
Mm.
Okay, so that's all right. Good to get that clear. Let's go back to Carrie.
The adrenaline that's going, usually yes. I experience adrenaline because of something, of lack of
because
vagina.
Your pineal,
are I've been running.
Because your pineal gland notices and sends a signal through the spaghetti of your mind,
right,
the labyrinth, that says, oh, he wants a burst of energy, adrenaline rush. There's a baby falling off a cliff, and send adrenaline to get him up there to save the baby. Okay.
Well, so my question is, if I can't find an outside source and there's adrenaline flowing, then I can maybe say that there's a portal.
Well, you'll know that, you see, once you have the increased adrenaline, you're not running or looking at a vagina, and then you come along and your thyroid says there's no reason to have this extra adrenaline, or that the adrenals are working full out for no apparent reason, then once the thyroid clears it, it'll go to the hypothalamus, and you'll get the hotter cold, hotter cold, hotter cold.
So I'll experience temperature as well?
Well, that's how you can, but it's that regulation. Some people find we can tell you about what JW does. Maybe that'll be the easiest. For JW, it makes no difference how hot or cold he is, okay? When he is engaging in a portal activity or a gate, okay? But mostly more portals than gates. He just finds it easier because it's more definable for him. What he finds is a little wisp of coolness to him personally. Now, he knows of others who do this same thing who may have a little flash of warmness, no matter how warm it is. Many people talk about it when they go through that the hair will stand up on their body. It's kind of like of a coolness kind of thing. That little tiny little flush lets them know that that's where that is. It pinpoints exactly where that gate or portal is. But now, Ed, to be clear, once you do this a little while, it's about like emptying your bladder. You don't have to think about it the way we are here. But this is giving practical application so you can notice it for a little while. And then once you get real good at tying your shoes, you don't have to run it through all these dynamics of bodily conditions to be able to perform the task of going through a gate or tying your shoe. So it sounds like a whole lot, but once you do it a bit, it becomes natural.
Okay. And the pineal gland is a stargate, and it allows you to pass in through any part of the universe that you want. You just have to know how to unfold your hyperdimensional body and slip it through into the eye of the stargate. And so we are all stargates. And so if somebody's manufacturing a stargate, I'm saying, well, that's great, but it's redundant because we are already that. It would just much be much easier for us to take up a spiritual discipline and learn how to use our own stargates. And
there's a link up between the planetary or interdimensional stargates and our pineal gland. And so that I would say that's accurate. However, you still have to understand that there are physiological or hyperdimensional gates that even these beings, whether they be Anunnaki or other types of beings, have to honor. In other words, they're passageways in essence. Now, some are human, augmented by humans. This is information we've gotten from Dan Burish and from others. But there are also specific natural stargates here on Earth in which you're in linking with your pineal gland in going internally. You're also going to follow, and this gets into the work of Ashiana Dean, and I don't know if you followed that work or looked at it at all, but it's absolutely fascinating. The idea, just as there are grid lines in the Earth, there are passageways, and you will, even with your light body, be following these passageways through the universe.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what actually the Australian Aborigines walkabout was. There were pathways in between these hot spots.
See, Ed, they're taking little snippets and trying to connect it up. Hot spots, that's the example. Now, come along is getting it into a place where it's kind of like, well, if you are the gate, there are other gates. Now, of course, apparently some Hebrewloids are controlling it all, so you don't have a prayer. But if you could get beyond that, it's a practical dynamic that all human creators can, will, and do engage in this portal activity.
Yeah, so, she's laying it on geographical landscapes, and it's actually something that you can activate yourself, and they're being activated around you and opened.
Well, they're all open. They don't have to be activated now. They're all open. That's where these sinkholes are coming on. They don't have any bottoms to. And
Right. Okay. So why she's discussing some concrete things.
She's trying to tell him he's full of crap, that you can't be a portal in your pineal gland because you can't go through your pineal gland to get to a different starred world.
Is that what he had said? Yes.
Well,
in other words, she's arguing with him.
He's saying that it's silly to activate these portals and gates when you are the portal and the gate star.
And she objects to that.
And she's like, there are definitive portals on the earth right here, right now.
Right. Now, wait a minute.
Through.
So you're... that what?
That you go through.
Right. You're somewhere between the two.
Well, no, we're saying that the pineal gland is not a gate. It's just what...
Okay, so you don't agree with that. You don't agree with Jay. Do you agree with Carrie?
Yes, except for this light business and that other people opened the gates and set it up and made it and lined it all up, and it's somebody else's private escalator that you might wrap your way into if your dark self... Oh, no, sorry. Your light self or your... Is that on self or... One of those conditions that she's describing can perfectly align with that proximity that some foreign illegal alien set forth before you. So that is our
In other words, she has the idea that one could take their power, but you're saying, no, it's easy to take your power with portals.
Of course, that's easy to tie in your shoe.
That's what you're saying, yeah. Okay, continue.
And there's hot spots here all over the place, yeah. So, I mean...
You have an objection to them calling them hot spots?
Well, if you're talking about the hypothalamus activation, no problem. It might be a cool spot. But it's just an anomaly. But he's just turned right around and said that you are, your pineal gland is the gate. And now he's turning right back around and saying... But there are hot spots all over the planet. Well, I guess that's where maybe you have to remove your pineal gland, lay it down somewhere, go through the star gate, and then pick one up when you get over to the other side. But see, you know, it's Bob, you tear that up because you're like, wait a second, is it the pineal gland or is it not? Well, right. Now you're saying there's hot spots all over the planet, and I guess when you get to a hot spot, that's where you plug in your pineal extension cord to let it suck you through yourself.
Okay, good. Okay, carry on.
Where they could go, and Ayers Rock being one of them, and there's hot spots here all over the place, yeah. So, I mean, the hyperdimensional link to the three dimensions is sort of what I call orthogonal. In other words, it's at right angles to us. So we travel, you know, across the earth in a straight line, walking around or driving or whatever. But the hyper universe is actually at a direct right angle to what we're doing. And it comes down through the pineal gland. And humans are the only animal that walks upright. And so we can attenuate our pineal gland directly into the slipstream of hyperdimensional energy that's coming down from outer space, actually, and use that to really do anything. I mean, I'm really trying to say is that it's possible for you, Carrie, to hold a bit of lead in your palm, go into a place that is a hot spot, go into a hyperdimensional place, come back and open up your palm, and the lead is gold. And I'm saying that this happens frequently. And that anything is possible. And once we realize that,
we can material. We are creators. We are co-creators. That's the ultimate, objective of this game, if you will.
Co-creators with yourself.
That's right.
Co-creators with whom? Well, that he just spent all that time to not say the word that you won't let us say.
Evocation.
Triangulation.
Triangulation. Right. Evocation.
He didn't say it either, so maybe she's got him hypnotized too, Bob.
Evocation. It was in light. It's good, Ed, that you had Ion explain the portaling right there in the middle, because then you hear Ed's convoluted, hyperdimensional, intergalactic garbly-gook, and all you have to do is relax and allow and believe that you could go.
And triangulate.
And triangulate, which...
which will be our, Bob says, will be non-physical's downfall on planet Earth. But hey, after the divas get through with your butt, triangulation might be a piece of cake.
Yeah, I meant that Ion's may not be too successful in communicating the idea of triangulation he's been talking about the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met anybody who's got it yet, but...
Well, it took you a few days to get here at the wall, too, Bob, and that's been forever. So give them a chance, Bob. Give them a chance.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe their pineal gland will drag them through. Maybe that'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I keep bringing up triangulation, getting Ion to define it. So we get all kinds of different definitions. So I'm there trying to assist the birth of this concept.
Trying to help the brethren so you can get it. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Tree of Knowledge is the next one.
Jehovah is the chief prison warden, okay? And he tells Adam...
Whoa. Do what? Houston. Read that back one more time, Bob. Just give it the credence of the benevolent wordy words to make sure that we haven't jumped slap off the tracks here. Jehovah is what?
I think he said the prison warden. Here goes.
Jehovah is the chief prison warden, okay? And he tells Adam and Eve that they can eat of anything in the garden but the tree of knowledge, okay? So Eve, who's a typical woman, isn't going to listen to that. And so she wanders in, and there's a snake wrapped around the tree. And the snake says... Jehovah's a liar, You can eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and you will not die. He said you would die, but I guarantee you can eat that, and you won't die. And Eve said, really? And so she picked the apple, she took a bite, and she didn't die, proving once that Jehovah lied, that the snake is telling the truth. So what's the symbology here? The symbology is this. The tree of knowledge has apples. Apples are shaped like the hyperdimensional vortex. If you slice an apple at 19.5 degrees, you will see a pentagon of seeds, okay? Because life forms into a pentagon once it transmutes down from hyperdimensional to 3D. That's why animals and plants and humans are all shaped with five sides. And so we can understand what Jehovah is...
It's just that you're also... delineating the Luciferian precepts here. So I you have to acknowledge that, because that is what the Illuminati live by. You've just laid it out very clearly and simply for the listeners.
Well, Ion, what was the Tree of Knowledge? Well, we haven't got there yet, right?
We haven't got there yet.
So we don't know what the Tree of Knowledge. Can you tell us a little foresight of what the Tree of Knowledge will be when we get there?
Well, it won't be some devil snake trying to slip something in your rectum from the pentagram. Maybe that's in your chart, Bob, that the five bodies will be the downfall of all humanity. Maybe that's it.
The
emphatic representation of Bob's bastard babies will be what the serpent was trying to convince that woman, Eve, to screw up mankind. Yeah. You better wake Carolyn up. She'd have something to say about that in about 1 second. But
okay, well, she's a human being, not a woman.
Well, good. But then she wouldn't get caught up in that Luciferian puffery.
Yeah, Menipean, just you said the word, M-E-N-I-P-P-E-A-N. You can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of satire. So
yeah.
I like to
Well, we made it emphatically, so it's all right.
Yeah, yeah. So the... So the tree of knowledge, Lucifer, Jehovah. So there's a little bit of a problem. It's you take this debate between the snake and Jehovah, and Jay is taking the snake side.
Now wait a second. Now this is the same person that was speaking before, only now through come along.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting how it's a completely different line? It's a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
Did you know? Have you picked up?
Oh
on
yeah.
That?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's two different people talking and not Kerry and the other guy.
Not Lance. Well, this is Kerry and Jay. And you're referring back to Lance and Jay was a different person.
It's as though it was a completely different topical conversation.
Well, it is a different topic. It's different topics.
Well, but they're supposed to be running in the same threads of what's being communicated.
That's right. So all of these concepts of tree of knowledge and this and that, what was the previous one?
Well,
Stargate.
Yeah.
He's not relating them to the inevitable cataclysm every 60,000 years.
Which would... So in his last conversation in the 60,000-year plan, how do you get the Garden of Eden and the tree of knowledge, or is that just some little spit that you were walking along with that showed up here? Which had not, so did the Aryans screw that up too? Or do you see that the it's almost like you picked up a different novel off of the woo-woo section of your Dewey Decimal woo-woo category, and you're reading a different book?
Yeah. Well, you're reading...
Just noticing.
No, yeah, that. you're reading a different book, but it's written by an author using a different name, or you're not being told... You had no idea it was the same author.
And you couldn't tell by what's being said, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's see about the Illuminati centralized money system.
One person is asking if the solar cycle is coming, why are the Earth Illuminati taking so much trouble to get the Earth centralized under money, a centralized monetary system?
Well, that's a great question. So let's just like you just said, there's different groups. The one group is on the very inside, and they know all the hyperdimensional things, and they know that these coronal mass ejections are coming, when they're coming, how they're going to be, blah, blah, blah. They hired managers starting around the time of 1750 to 1776, when they knew they had to really get going. They hired a bunch of managers, and one of them was Bauer, a banker named Bauer, who changed his name to Rothschild, which means Red Shield, because this is about the Red Planet. And so that's the second group, which is the managers. Now, the managers know that something is coming, and they know that it could be bad. So they've built these underground bunkers where they're going to go, okay? But they're not sure of anything, and they're not going to miss any bet, just like you just said. So they know that they have to centralize. Remember, they're centralizing for chaos. They're not centralizing for order. It's centralizing. They're creating chaos with it so that when the you-know-what hits the spinning you-know-what, we're all going to be just fighting each other and killing each other and trying to grab what we can instead of, you know, doing the asymmetrical thing, which is to think outside the box and realize it's a spiritual problem. And so they're just not missing any bets. They're too smart to miss any bets. So they are centralizing. They are trying to create a one-world order just in case the Anunnaki might be wrong and they end up as the rulers of the world, which they are, but they don't want to have a world with 8 billion people on it. They want a world with 500 million, of which 400 million are their slaves. And this is where we're going.
The Georgia Guidestones state this unequivocally. Mm-hmm. It's carved in stone.
That's right.
So it's fascinating how people that actually don't realize that the elimination of huge numbers of the population has been planned and is out there for everyone to see as their objective.
Okay, what's interesting to me, Ion, is we have a connection to Mr. Jack Bauer. Bauer is the real name of the rock. That's incredible. The real name of the Rothschilds is Bauer, so I was so far-fetched to bring up Jack Rothschild, Jack Bauer. Pretty interesting. Maybe these guys researched and decided that 24 was a secret message about the Illuminati, about Rothschilds, and they put the name Bauer in there. You get that, Ed?
Do you want us to speak in serpent tones? Maybe they like to hear from the serpent now. But, okay.
Okay, I like what he says. You know, it's all going to be wiped out every the cycle of 6,000 years, but the managers are pretty crafty. They may not believe Jay in that scenario. They're ready to take over if the colloidal enema doesn't happen.
Well, and if the real managers or the real bosses behind the managers screw it up again,
yes.
They've screwed it up 15 times so far. Chances are pretty good that a centralized chaos of you can have, you know, if 400 million slaves are good, what could you do with 8 billion slaves? Boy, it sounds like they're arguing for the limitations. And then they're so wise, and they know. But just in case they don't know what they know, and they won't always wait for backup, Ed. That's what they're saying, is always wait for backup. What we're saying is if you wait for backup, that's what you better plan on, because that'll be every other opportunity will be yet indeed be eliminated. There's just too much twisting in the wind. You know, if you're going to do this much playing in the wind, we suggest that you get a very sturdy slip.
Slip, I mean, the dress thing, the
foundational garment. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it's interesting, at the very end, they mentioned the Georgia Guides, and RJW, I think, the vehicle for Ion, he has one of those Georgia Guides, so we're right near the body of a possessor of these horrific Georgia Guide stones. Am I correct?
Yeah, but they didn't do much for him. They didn't make that much. It was, you know, it was written in stone, but there's lots of stuff written in stone.
Right,
know?
Ed. The Georgia Guide stones are the things discovered in March 1980 or something, right? We talked about them before. Oh, okay.
A little bit before that, Bob.
Okay, so it is the only esoteric artifact that Georgia has, Ion?
Oh, gracious, no.
Well, you're one.
No, them divas ain't told you where all the good stuff is.
Oh, okay.
The Aryans has got to do all kinds of stuff because the South hasn't even rose again yet, Bob. So don't worry. They'll have to figure out if they got clear party liquor or brown party liquor before they get into all the esoterics of how they're going to make it through this 60,000 million year rotation or not. So it's
okay. The Illuminati centralized money system, is that being discussed at the G8 or G20 summits right now?
Good Lord, no.
Are they attempting to be a centralized monetary system?
Bob, they're trying to figure out how to make it through day after tomorrow. They're trying to figure out how to balance this pony for one more day.
Are you telling me that when I disbanded the Illuminati in 1990, they never recovered from my action?
Never.
And I was just picking up the leftovers. It had gone by 1967.
It was downhill from there, and when you finally said, okay, now be careful, come along, we'll be all up in your business if you start telling tales, so... Don't worry, and she won't let it go, Bob. She'll define you, and you'll have to answer them questions. So go on with it. That's exactly right.
You know, it's interesting. There was the glorious 60s, great pop music and everything. Well, movies just started to get good around then. But all that stuff, and then you look at 68, 69, everything started to go downhill. And it's been going downhill for 40 years. But that's because the Illuminati is wiped out in 67. It's because the Illuminati are gone that everything's getting bad.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Yep.
The end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. Yeah, good.
Ed asked if we could ever go into the elders. Do you think that could ever be discussed in public? There's your answer, Ed. That's a hot button there. The old hypothyroid answered there. Okay, the next one is, are you going to come back? Are you going to sulk, Ion, or are you going to come back?
Oh, did you have a question? But you'll just have to, maybe, Bob, you can have a consultation with MJ and get a better, hypochondriac. Oh, wait, no, that was not a hypochondriac. It was, they put a hypothermia. No, it wasn't hypothermia. Wait a minute, it was hypnotic. No, it wasn't hypnotic.
Hypnotizable.
That's right. So if you get a better hypnotizable reference point and you get control of your damned non-physical, maybe you can get any answer that you want. But until then, you just keep practicing. But maybe MJ can tell you how to do it, Bob. You could consider that. It's pretty
important. Yeah, no, and MJ, for our listeners, is a regular now on Tailgate. Tune in on Wednesday nights to Tailgate. Go to howionic.com, find out about that, and find the dates every Wednesday. And then you can talk to MJ, the Parallel Worlder guy, and maybe Project Come A Lot would be interested in talking to him.
Yeah, probably, yes. It can't be as bad as what you've had so far this evening, so regardless, it's all right. We love you all, everyone, as we go and stagger through in our non-physical, hypnopobotized condition.
Okay, we're in our final excerpt. We have come to the end of the road, and let me just check how long we've been.
The end of the road. Yep.
So, Carrie, this could be your first. this could be Carrie's first otherworlder whistleblower.
Who would be? MJ?
MJ. You see, that's what Come A Lot's about now. It's about bringing whistleblowers in.
Well, I think Ion's a pretty good whistleblower. Good one.
There you go. Get the rest of it. There's a famous Mr. Ed. There you go. But the whole magic of this, the only issue is, and you got to be, we don't mind answering the dynamic of going into this, but the human creators at some point have got to be able to come into their own place of knowing instead of being driven off on every little tit and whittle and gibbly dibbly squib, because you see, you've got to come to some place where you start resonating within your place of power and leave off this authoritarian, you don't know nothing, so we're going to tell you something. See, that's where you kind of get cross. If you can apply these things and get some hope and find your place of embracing and engaging that place of power, wonderful. But you see, if the divas and the Aryans and every other gobbledygook thing's going to screw you one way or the other, why give it any attention? It's like, well, okay, we'd hope for so much more, but let's go with it.
So this is the last topic, Hadron Collider.
What do they want to accomplish with the Large Hadron Collider, in your opinion?
Well, that's a good question. I presume that it's a time gate of some kind, just because it's really trying to create a black hole, which is the total gravity is at the center of your stargate. So, you know, when you reach the very, very center of your hyperdimensional field and you're coming down in a toroidal, trihedron-shaped spiral, you eventually reach the point where the spiral gets so tight and so fast and so strong that it creates enough spin resonance that you can go hyperdimensional. And so there's, to me, there's no doubt that either they're complete idiots and they're just doing something because they thought it was a good idea, which I really highly doubt, or they're trying to create a time gate.
Well, why don't they put that on the orgasms from the sun and suck the sun into that black hole?
Is the Hadron Collider technically trying to create a black hole ion?
Well, we wouldn't know. We would just have to presume, like your
guest here, or guest of honor here, guest of honor.
Yeah.
So
we just have to presume.
Would you maybe. you would presume? Well, if you didn't presume and knew, would it be creating a black hole? Is that what they're?
Hell no. They're trying to create antimatter. They ain't trying to create a black hole for people's sake. Well, I mean,
okay.
You don't even have to be bright to get that. They'll tell you that much.
Okay, good. Here we go.
Total gravity is at the center of your stargate.
Total gravity.
Well,
you know what that is, Ian? Total gravity?
Uh-huh. It's not in Mars.
So, you know, when you reach the very, very center of your hyperdimensional field...
What's a hyperdimensional field, Ion?
No idea.
And you're coming down in a toroidal, tetrahedron-shaped spiral.
Toroidal, tetrahedron-shaped spiral. You got that? Toroidal, tetrahedron, or terahedron spiral. Is there any such thing?
Well, if there were, we'd use it to get the sperm off the sun, off the Earth. That's what
we'd right.
do.
Okay.
If there were.
Yeah.
Reach the point where the spiral gets so tight and so fast and so strong that it creates enough spin resonance that you can...
Any such thing as spin resonance?
Well, sure, yes. It comes right after the wash cycle and the rinse cycle.
Okay. So, sounds like you're going to get the spin resonance going...
Hyperdimensional.
Take it hyperdimensional. That's what you're suggesting.
But if it can go hyperdimensional, why you got to build these spaceships to get to Mars? Why can't you just hyperdimensionalize the yourself into the guts of Mars? But if you're smart enough to do all that, why can't you hyperdimensionalize the sperm off of the sun that's supposed to come zap you out of your place? See, if you got all that, you got it all together. Why don't you use that to straighten out the problem so you don't have to go run from the divas and the Aryans and forfeit your planet? But it'll come back in 100 years, so really that's just a blip. So no problem. I guess it's all right. We've done it 15 times and ain't got it. So what's one more time through? And one more thing on an earlier standpoint, talking about placing your bets and covering your bets and all that kind of business. Talking about making a wise to cover all your bets. The wisest human creators we know don't bet.
They know.
Bet is placing a wager on an unsubstantiated, unqualified anomaly or outcome.
And the wise, they know.
They know. So it's not a gamble.
Okay.
And... So there's no doubt that either they're complete idiots and they're just doing something because they thought it was a good idea, which I really highly doubt, or they're trying to create a time gate.
Trying to create a time gate.
Oh, you mean a portal where you put all the false premises?
Yeah.
We like that. If we could portal all the false premises to Mars, to the guts of Mars, it would serve humanity and those coming into their power immensely. So let's get a time gate, and everybody send your junk mail that you get and all the spam and all the phishing emails and your regular mails, send them to the black hole creator at CERN, and let them process all that. okay? Let them send all that there, and they're bright, and they can time warp it to Mars, and they can use it to maybe set a gravitational pull for the guts of Mars, so they'll have plenty of things to read, and they can consider business opportunities from Nigeria, and they can win the national, international lottery. Oh, it'd be the universal lottery then. Oh, Bob, that could be wonderful. They could get siding put on their brick homes. They could have gutter guards installed on all. Oh, it doesn't rain there, and they're in the middle of it, so that might not go so good. But they could certainly be offered the opportunity to have good protective cops on their gutters that they don't use. It'd be marvelous. Use that for a time warp, to time warp all this stuff that you don't want to be bothered with to the guts of Mars, and that would screw with them Aryan divas that's trying to take over. And then the managers would be freed up for joyful obedience, and they could then outcome and outsource this mess that's going to go on with the sun that's going to blow everything up, so we can light your fatties with a Zippo, and you won't have to put a stick outside of your cave to have far to light your fatty. I think it's great. But to be simple, because simple is best. If you want to embrace this kind of stuff and it brings you into your place of power, we say get you a big chaw and chew and chew and chew and chew. But at the first essence that it's confounding your place of coming into your power, let it go by the way of all good food.
And you can make the same statement about McLuhan. If it confounds you, forget it.
Yes, that's right. If it gets you away from your power. But now, when you get a little further along and you want to use that to embrace it at another level, or maybe as a dynamic to use as sometimes even contrast, because he was the great contrarian.
Yep.
For sure. And in fact, contrariness gets you into a place where you can consider and settle it, and not continually be befuddled by it, then all of a sudden it becomes very fruitful and useful. It's like, how do you know that a food goes bad until you taste it? But you don't have to eat 2 gallons of it or 4 hours of it to know that it's going to make you sick. But please yourself.
Okay, Ed, well, I think this was a good dissertation, good show, interesting material. We cover a lot of the memes out there with Ion's X-ray.
And do not under any circumstances vote for the Aryans on your next voting ballot for the midterms, because the teabaggers ain't going to have it, number one, and the managers will probably hold out for all the power and authority. And don't worry, because the divas is sending them going to blow up the sun, so it'll be over pretty soon, so you might as well have a good time between now and then.
Yeah, Ed, you see how Ion, he remembers what he said 3 years ago, or they, Ion could be plural, they remember what they said 3-4 hours ago, tie it back into whatever we were saying right now. Do you notice that, Ed?
I noticed.
Yeah.
It's a Manipian fatty quadriphenia, Bob. You got to do something with your bastard, baby. However fatty, you got to do something with it.
Amen. Oh, my.
Amen. Oh, me. That's it.
Oh, me.
If you can't say amen, you have to say, oh, me. Very good. And we do appreciate. These human creators are spending a great deal of energy, energy on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
We don't know why, but they are. And they can be, do, or have anything they'd like to be, do, or have. But at the end of the day, the most thing that we notice that they get is confounded.
Yep.
They say it, but then it's all somewhere woo-woo out there somewhere based on what somebody else said that somebody else said that somebody else said.
And then Carrie has to go off after she's interviewed somebody and in retrospect got confounded. She has to go interview someone else to collapse that confinement that inevitably does lead to another confinement after she interviews that new person.
But so we find it so dynamic that an individual human creator can talk about everything under the sun that's going to explode that has more power than the human creators.
Yes.
Every time you turn around, it's some alien something probing you rectally, or taking you over this, or poisoning you with that, and running them chemtrails and blowing this up. And if it ain't them, it's the government and them ancient Samaritan Hebrew lords. And then them space Jews come in here and they tear up something else. They have no problem in the world giving everything under, it's got a name, more power than where it belongs, is with the individual human creator, God, on this earth. They have no problem spending all day, every day, bringing you up to the place where you're less than. Does that make them be more than? Because these superior races are only bothering to tell them. How superior would you have to be to tell only them? Mm. Not too much of a secret, is it?
And nobody knows, but they do.
And, but they sure can give you the soliloquy regarding it. But so far, so good. But humans come into your place of power. That's the point. Have fun. Life's supposed to be fun. And it don't matter if the divas put you here or how you got here or how you getting out and when it's going to be over. They've been talking about over since before it began, so don't worry about it, ever since the fall of man, which you did choose, by the way. It ain't their fault. You bought into this mess. You set it up, and then you bitching because it didn't go your way. But regardless, if you can come in and take responsibility for your place of power and please and delight yourself only, habitually, then what happens, there'll be joy in your life. You can be in joy, I-N-J-O-Y. And once you get in joy long enough and that becomes the mean, the standard by which all of us are judged, you'll find yourself creeping and easing to this place called bliss. And then you won't give a happy flit what come along comes up with next, because you'll know. And when you know that you are pleasing the light in yourself, it'll be so delightful and delicious. And life is supposed to be fun. Ease off on some of this gobbledygook and get yourself in your place of power. And if you don't like us, wonderful. We ain't changing our words anyway. If you like it, good. If you don't like it, good. We're easy with the whole thing. But at the end of the day, what you need to recall and what you need to want to know, and when you know you can never unknow, is that everything in your world you created yourself. Every dynamic that is, you created. If it's got a name, you created it. And once you come to that place of power, if there's something that you don't care for, you can overlay it with one you do care for. And then you find yourself bebopping along, having fun, having joy, having contrast, preferring which flavor ice cream you like, eating as many chocolate cakes as you can slide down your throat hole, and having a marvelous, wonderful time. That's what it's supposed to be about. Folks get so tangled up in being so heavenly bound, they're no earthly good. And then they find themselves confounded, and then they go, well, I'm just going to get me some cancer. The cancer's the only thing that's going to help me at this point. I can't see no other way out, and I'd rather go out with cancer before them divas get us. So, you know, it just makes it so much simpler after a little bit. So humans are deciding to transition out of their meat sack body where their creativity or creation element lies. And they use that as their excuse to no longer enjoy the place of creating. Because it isn't about living. You are an eternal being. We don't care which aliens is fixing to come probe you rectally. You are eternal. And when you get that concept in your throat hole, it becomes great. And you can turn on your pineal gland and figure it all out real fast. Because then the labyrinth of your mind won't be used to confound you and offer every concept that you can consider other than the obvious of how did all this happen, how did it get here, who, what, when, where, how, and why, that you spend all day, every day trying to figure out, and you ain't no closer than you was when you separated yourself from your power the first time. So let's talk about it one more time. We've done it 99 million times so far. Maybe the next one we'll get it, or maybe that's that 60,000-year cycle that we're bumping on into. But regardless of that whole process, at the end of the day, come into your place of power. Embrace everything that brings you joy. put it in your mouth. If it tastes good, swallow it. If it doesn't, spit it out. Because it's, we promise you, every single time without fail or exception, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out. Very good. And therefore, we are...
Hold. I want to quote page 18 from Finnegan's Wake. This is the slogan, the motto of the person who keeps putting money in Carrie's bank account so he can fly around and do this. Quote,
good.
In the ignorance that implies impression, that knits knowledge, that finds the name form, that whets the wits, that convey contacts, that sweetens sensation, that drives desire, that adheres to attachment, that dogs death, that bitches birth, that entails the ensuance of existentiality.
Yummy. And there you have it. There you have it. Those that can read James Joyce, it ain't their first rodeo.
Good point. Jimmy would like that.
Yes, indeed. Therefore, we are completely, deliciously, forever, happily, completely, superfluously incomplete.
Mm.